Welcome to Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry, a program dedicated to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless, advocating Christian families to adopt and get involved with foster care here in the Capital District, as well as globally, and encouraging and supporting those who've heard and heeded the call of James 1:27.
He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of His own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. That is 2 Timothy 1:9. I'm Sandra Flack, Executive Director of Justice for Orphans Ministry and your host here on Orphans No More. Joining us today is Texas adoptive dad, Pastor Aaron Clayton. Welcome to the show, Aaron.
Thanks a lot. It's good to be here.
It's wonderful to have you here all the way from Texas. And Aaron, you and your wife Charity have two, I call them homegrown kids, biological children. Juliet is 6 and Valor is 4. You also have one son adopted internationally from Kazakhstan. What might surprise our listeners is that you and Charity actually pursued adoption before you began your homegrown family. So tell us, why did you choose to adopt first?
A lot of that stems from sort of the call to adopt. We really, it was, you know, originally on my wife's heart. I just wasn't against it, just hadn't thought about it. And as we started talking and praying a lot more about that before we had any kids, a lot of that had to do with God's heart for orphans in Scripture and the responsibility of the church. And so as we started thinking through that, for us, it wasn't necessarily a venue to try to have children, but it was much more like a response to the things that God has said and kind of given His church to do. And so as we kind of thought through that, we started going, what would that look like in our particular family trajectory and those kind of things? And we felt like really naive parents, you know, not having any kids at the time. I think we felt like, well, if we adopt first, it will give us the space and the time. We knew that we didn't know how much, but we knew that having an adoptive child would bring a lot of challenges and probably extra parenting types of things with it. So we thought that maybe having that first would give us the time and the energy and the money and stuff to really invest deeply into that. And even really thinking that being the older brother would give him kind of a significant place in our family. And so that's kind of the short version of why we did that.
Wow. So really you saw from the scriptures that this is God's heart, adoption is God's heart, and that's what we need to do.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you look over and over again, especially through the Psalms, when you see him call, God calls himself a father to the fatherless. And then consistently in Psalms and through the prophets in Isaiah, he's indicting the church for not caring well for the widow, the orphan, and the foreigner, these people who are helpless in our society. And so I definitely feel like the church has a call to those who are marginalized and largely dependent on others. And for us, just one specific niche in that that God's burdened our hearts for is orphan and foster, hurting, helpless children. And so I think you see that consistently throughout Scripture. Of course, you get in the New Testament in James chapter 1, where he says true religion, actual faith, really believing in me is not just about word or doing religious outward things, but that you actually put that into motion, sacrificing things of yourself to live out the implications of the gospel, which is, in that case specifically mentioned, is caring for orphans and not just only caring about them, but entering into their affliction in order to care for them. And so it seems to be a really clear train of thought throughout the Bible that God's heart is for the orphan, hurting children, and that he's given the call to his church to be the hands and feet of Jesus in that world.
Amen. Amen to that. So you and Charity actually chose Kazakhstan to be the country that you adopted from, or at least that's where you did adopt from. So what led you in that direction?
Yeah. So Kazakhstan is a Central Asian country. Most people don't really even know where it is, but if you just look at a map of Asia, it's right in the middle. It's actually pretty big geographically. Former Soviet Union country, is just north and kind of northeast of the Middle East. And so it's really interesting. The makeup, it's very diverse, got a lot of Soviet Russian influence mixed with this Muslim and especially growing Muslim influence in the country. So I had spent a little bit of time there in college and already had some familiarity, knew some people there. And in our process, a big part of our adoption was not only this call to care for the orphan, but also we feel like God's given us this real burden, both as the church and our family, to take the gospel to the unreached places where people have very little to no access to it. And so as we kind of started exploring this, for us, we felt like those two needed to go together. And so we really started looking into countries that would be considered very unreached with the good news of Jesus. And Kazakhstan was on that list of countries. Actually, Vietnam is also one of those, and that's where we originally started. And working through that process, just kind of the combination of length of process, cost, need, and really just the Spirit's leading. We felt like that's where we needed to be. But as we were getting into that process, at that time, Guatemala and China were both two really significant places where people were adopting from, and both of those had major changes to their process that became way longer. So a lot of people jumped out of those processes and actually wound up in Vietnam. So then their process got a lot longer and more difficult, and we just felt like that was a move of the Lord to kind of make us reevaluate. So we started kind of looking around. My familiarity with Kazakhstan sort of led us there second. I went to a few meetings, talked to some agencies about what their process was there. So kind of that unreached, fairly in some ways untouched with the gospel nature combined with the orphan need in that country, and just our kind of heart for international adoption all came together with, you know, my familiarity, and we had some contacts there who could potentially help us. So it all kind of fit into the puzzle, and we felt like, okay, maybe this is where God wants us.
Well, what was your experience like when you actually went to Kazakhstan for the adoption? Tell us about that.
Yeah, it was really, really unique on two fronts, and ours is a pretty long and complicated story. So when we talk to people, you know, we really try to give them a full picture of the good side and the difficult side of the of adoption ministry. But so for us, there was kind of two sides of just living in a foreign country. And we actually were there for 3 months to complete our full process because of some delays that we had. So just living in a foreign country. And then number two, dealing with the adoption system, which we all know is just really difficult almost everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And then thirdly, we had in our process, our agency actually went under through some decisions that they had made. And so we wound up completing our process, not with an agency or like licensed coordinators, but a lawyer, a Kazakh lawyer who lived in Washington, D.C. and had some connections in country, which we found out later this probably was their first time to do this. And so you put all three of those things together, made for a pretty arduous process. So living in country really wore on us, just dealing with their system of power and control was difficult for us at times. And then they're one of the countries where you don't get a match before you travel, but they just say, yes, we have kids that match what you're looking for. Come here and see them. And so on our first few days in country, they took us to the two different orphanages. They call the ones that have the children four and under, they actually call them baby houses. So it was interesting for us. And then when they get five, they move into a different place, which is actually called an orphanage. So it's interesting. And our driver / lawyer, who didn't speak a whole lot of English, he could say baby house. So he would always say that to us when we were going there. It was really fun for us. So we went to this place and they showed us four kids. They just brought them in. And actually the first two, We had asked for a child that would be 18 months or younger, and the first two that came in were probably 4 to 5, holding hands and sort of skipping around the room and singing and very much, you know, putting on a show for us. And of course, we were overwhelmed by that, and, you know, these two kids that were way older than what we were anticipating, and then we saw two more, which also did not fit our criteria for what we had requested. And so we were overwhelmed and said, this is what we asked for, and our coordinators were sort of advocating for us, but I don't think they really knew exactly what to do. And so we actually went to a different baby house in the same city and saw four more children, all of also which did not fit the criteria we had originally applied for. And so at the end of that day, they basically said, here's 8 children. You need to choose one of them. And mm-hmm. we, obviously, 8 children, and you being forced to pick is overwhelming emotionally.
Yeah.
Then combined with none of these 8 fit into the criteria that we had requested, that they said they had. So we kind of pushed back a little bit, but didn't have really a leg to stand on, didn't know a lot about how the process worked, and our coordinators were even saying, this is it, you got to choose. And so it was just extremely emotional, spiritually exhausting, then also dealing with culture and language and stuff that we didn't understand. And we couldn't just go grab a hamburger and drink a chocolate shake and talk it out. We were eating, you know, borscht and all of these other, you know, trying to find food that we could, and people who spoke English was hard. And it was a really grueling, even just the rest of that day as we were at our hotel room and just struggling through things. And we talked and we wept together and we tried to play some games just to get our minds off of it. And we just really couldn't even do that and just had to stop. And and literally came to the end of that night in tears and had no idea what to do. We were going to have to go back the next day. And so we slept and woke up the next morning as we're just getting ready that next morning. Still remember standing on the heated floor in the Kazakh hotel bathroom, just getting ready for that morning, and had been reading the verse that you read earlier in 2 Timothy chapter 1, which, you know, just says God saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works or anything that we have done to earn that from him, but just because of his own purpose and grace.
Mm.
And I felt like his spirit just spoke to me through that to say, I didn't choose you because you were attractive to me or cute or because you had somehow earned my approval or my affections. In my own goodness and purpose and choice, I became your father.
Mm.
And I felt like he was speaking to me in that moment of just saying, you at the demonstration of the good news of the grace of Jesus, choose one of these children and go be his dad. I did it for you and you can do it for them. And it didn't necessarily make it easy, but it did make it clear and overwhelming. And I went and told Charity that, and we prayed and talked about it, and we kind of had this sense of resolve. And so we went back and had, you know, basically narrowed it down to these two boys, and we heard their medical histories again and still did not know what to do. So we just said, can we go pray about this? And they said, sure. So we had 10 minutes in the hall. We talked about it. We kind of settled on one, and, you know, we were doing the best we could, but we didn't know what to do. We just prayed and said, God, if this is what you want, you know. And so we came to the end of that and went back in the room and told them. And from that point forward, our journey was with the guy we now call Sam. Mm. And so we went for bonding twice a day, every day. And then we moved into an apartment there in Kazakhstan and just lived Kazakh life in a city that had very few English speakers. And we're trying to adapt to that. God in his grace gave us an apartment that was owned by a young couple that was about our same age who had actually spent significant time in America. So they spoke English, which was unusual in that city. And he was a robotics major in college, so had all his technical experience, who actually had a high-speed Wi-Fi internet in the apartment, which was extremely unheard of.
Mm.
So we could communicate back home. We could Skype with people, send videos, which we just hadn't anticipated. So that was God's grace to us on a lot of hard days as we walked through their process and still just the grieving of adopting a child that we could see was coming from a very hard place and had layer after layer after layer of trauma or all kinds of these risk factors that we talk about with these children. We could see it being played out in front of us, yet at the same time we were bonding with this little guy, and you could see that we were becoming his people. And he knew that when we showed up, he knew exactly why we were there. And so it was difficult, but God's grace sustained us and actually allowed these guys who were the first time at it, I think, to finish the process somehow. They navigated it, and we felt like God has begun that refining process there that he still has us on today. But it was I think the story of that was just God's grace in working something out in Sam's life and something out in our family that he's just continuing to work in today.
Your story sounds very similar to my experience when my husband and I went to Ukraine. We didn't know ahead of time who we were adopting either. We had to pick. So I get how just difficult and overwhelming that can be. And our agency collapsed in the middle of our process as well.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That's probably another whole show that we could do. They very similar, you know, unraveled. Thankfully, we had an excellent facilitator in Ukraine because we had adopted from Ukraine, who worked with many different agencies in the States. And so this particular one, when it unraveled, we, you know, God was, you know, very merciful and really we could proceed without the agency because we had, you know, there was people on the ground there who knew exactly what they were doing and walked us through the process. But it was, you know, it was still scary knowing that this,
yeah,
you know,
it is.
I was in Ukraine six weeks and never once heard from our agency through email or anything. And it was quite the time. But like I said, that's
crazy.
It's another.
Yeah, like for ours.
Yeah.
We were done with our agency and this lawyer. And when we did hear from her, it was usually to kind of tell us to get back in line and stop asking so many questions. And she's trying to manhandle us over the phone. You know, and we didn't know any better. We didn't know how to respond to her, and we're afraid if we say anything, you know, they're going to bump us out of the process. And,
right.
And we were spending a lot of days just not having a clue what to do.
Well, if God is for us, who can be against us, right?
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
I just want to remind our listeners that this is Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry. To learn more about adoption, foster care, or orphan ministry, visit our website at justicefororphansny.org. Our guest today is Texas dad and pastor, Aaron Clayton. Aaron and his wife, Charity, are parents to two homegrown kiddos and one son adopted internationally from Kazakhstan. Aaron, how old was Sam when you adopted him, and what was that adjustment like, adopting an older child as opposed to, say, an infant and bringing him home?
Yeah, he was, when we met him, he was 19 months, I think. So when we actually brought him home, he was 22 months, so he was almost 2 years old. And It was definitely unique. You know, we had asked for a child 18 months or under, this being our first time as parents. We didn't have any idea what we were getting into. You know, as a now an experienced parent, I look back and I'm like, we thought we didn't have any idea what we were getting into. And it was 10 times above that we had no idea what we were getting into. And so then bringing not a baby or an infant, but a two-year-old, we didn't walk through all of those infant stages. So we didn't have this rapport and history with them, with him, and we didn't get to be there for all those moments, but also didn't have the slow learning curve of a parent before he's mobile. And, you know, we're thinking about school and Mother's Day out and like all of these normal American things that in retrospect, he clearly was not ready for. We just didn't know any better. And then, you know, you have this older child who expresses himself rather than a baby crying to get his needs met. You know, he was to be much more physical and even would do things that I don't think he did on purpose, but were actually hurting him and his own physical body and other people and things when he would kind of lash out or throw fits about different things. And then I think that mixed with this American dream understanding of a family and what a two-year-old looks like and how you parent and all of that stuff with we're bringing this child in who not only has all these risk factors of that adopted children bring, but we didn't get to walk through any of those moments. And so he is at 2 years old, not emotionally or physically your average two-year-old. And so we're having to figure all of these things out kind of on the fly and not knowing. We didn't even know we were getting into as parents of any kind of two-year-old, let alone all the extra factors and challenges that it brought having an adopted child who didn't express himself like a two-year-old, but yet at the same time what was a lot older and more expressive than like a baby would be, and had all these things that we just didn't know how to process and deal with from not just from maybe 2 months or 3 months in an orphanage, but of abandonment, you know, which they all have, and then 2 years of having grown up in an orphanage / hospital. And like one of the interesting things about him is he was in the hospital for a little bit of time, then was transferred to this baby house at a young age. And so in his classroom, there were just too many kids. A lot of them couldn't walk yet. And so they really couldn't manage them outside. So he had never been outside. And so, you know, had never seen a bird, had never seen a car, all of these other things. And so like we're a big part, I think, of our challenge was like he's two, but he doesn't have any of the normal experiences or the emotional maturity of your average two-year-old. And trying to make sense of that for us, you know, was really difficult. And then especially you're seeing all these other families with kids around his age that are functioning a certain kind of way that we weren't functioning, which we've come to learn a lot about. We really appreciate the value of our story and what God's done through it. But at the time, we were clueless. And so it was really a struggle for us. Yet at the same time, you know, he's our first child and we have this little kid who just really was the joy of our lives. We were seeing God's grace to him and to us day by day by day. So it was a real challenge. But at the same time, almost how naive we were, it was still this joy and this real tension and entangledness of all of those, the challenge and the grieving with the joy and all of that stuff, if that really makes any sense. I'm sure it does to you.
Yeah. Totally makes sense to me. Yeah. Yeah. Aaron, your story, again, sounds so similar to my experience when we went to Ukraine for the second time to adopt our youngest, who also was abandoned at birth and in the baby hospital, and then went to the baby house, same thing. And he was sadly in the baby house until he was age five when we were able to finally travel to go get him. But, you know, the same thing. There was that abandonment. I believe your son has fetal alcohol syndrome as well. And our little guy also, you know, we knew we were like, uh-oh, when we met him for the first time in the orphanage, we knew we were going to need some huge help to be able to help him and to parent him. It was evident, you know, on that very first visit, you know, that prenatal trauma, you know, the low birth weight, the additional trauma of, you know, really being neglected, abused, and just not nurtured and not having your needs met, you know, in an orphanage, in an institution setting, just builds upon that trauma from the prenatal trauma of FAS to the trauma of abandonment to the neglect and the abuse in the orphanage. It's really, that's what's wiring these kiddos. So then when you bring them home and you just want to be parents and parent this child, it's totally different than what you expected, and you just can't parent how you would expect to parent, how you would parent biological children, or if you guys hadn't had biological children yet, just how you were parented or how you see other people parenting. Right. It's a game changer.
Yeah, exactly.
So
yeah, I think all of that for us has been a huge deal. So God has done a lot in us through it, and I know you kind of know that process too.
Yeah, Absolutely. So we have so much more that we want to talk about from your story,
right,
and really where you went to get help for your family and for Sam, and how all of that unfolded. So would you come back next week and we'll continue on with this conversation?
Yeah, sure. That'd be great.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. So I just want to touch base here with our listeners. If you enjoyed today's show and our conversation with Aaron, tune in next week for part two. But also, if you'd like to listen to more episodes of Orphans No More, you can find them on our website at justicefororphansny.org. You just click on radio show. There's a menu to choose from. It tells you who the guest is, adoption, foster care, orphan ministry, global orphan care. It's all right there. And you can help us continue our radio ministry by making a tax-deductible gift to Justice for Orphans. Our mission is to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless. JFO inspires, educates, and equips the body of Christ toward adoption, foster care, and orphan ministry. I'm Sandra Flack, your host of Orphans No More and Executive Director of Justice for Orphans Ministry. I would love to come and share with your church, small group, women's ministry, youth group, whoever wants to listen, about why and how we must walk out James 1:27. So to learn more or to contact me, again, go to our website, justicefororphansny.org.
Thank you for supporting this program by listening today, sharing what you've heard, and praying for orphans and children in need everywhere. More information is available at justicefororphansny.org. Visit and discover how you can make a difference in a child's life. And be sure to tune in to Orphans No More next Friday.